Tours today. My name is Pastor Matt Stewart. If this is your first time to be with us, that was my wife, Pastor Lori, up here, and we are so glad that you're here with us this morning. I want to personally say good morning to the online audience, and thank you, church, for your giving, for helping us advance the kingdom of God and push back the kingdom of darkness. Amen? So, we've been in a series called God With Us. And last week, we talked a little bit on the Prince of Peace is here. Amen? Yeah, come on. And so this week, and some of the thoughts that came out was that we are no longer enemies with God, but we are His children, that we have His peace in the midst of all storms. Everybody say all storms. No matter what we go through, we can have His peace. And we get to claim His peace for ourselves, that we don't work into a feeling of peace. Jesus is our peace, and it's our gift, and it's His gift to you. So today I'd like to talk to you about the good news of great joy. The good news of great joy. Now, how many of you guys love those moments when you know you're experiencing pure joy? Does everybody hear what I said? That you love, you know, experiencing those times of pure joy. We have been looking at Christmas kind of through the eyes of Advent. It's that 25-day march to Christmas, to where we celebrate the birth, but also look forward to His second coming. But we started off the first week talking about hope. Pastor Brad brought an amazing message on the light of hope and that it's for all of us. And secondly, last week we talked about, if I can get this to go, Jesus' peace and that the Prince of Peace is here. Amen? And then this week we are talking about joy. And every time I think of joy in this season, I think of the song Joy to the World. Amen? Joy to the world that the Savior has come. And I'm thankful for that. But I'd like to do what we did last week and just kind of chill out for a second. Let's just close our eyes. Everybody in the room, close your eyes, take in a deep breath, and let it out. No matter what you've brought in, we're just going to let that go. And while your eyes are closed, I want you to listen to this question. Are there realities in your life, circumstances and situations right now that you know of, that are causing you to feel incapable of experiencing any joy? Father, I just ask you to help us identify a situation, maybe it's a person, people, situation, circumstances, whatever it looks like, God, that you would help us identify, Lord, that we want to give that to you today because we want your joy in our lives. And everybody said, amen. So let's talk a little bit about the good news of great joy. Back in 1971, believe it or not, there was a band called Three Dog Night. And they released a song called Joy to the World. And when I was 5, 6 years old, whatever, my aunt had the albums and I heard the song there. I'd hear it on the radio at the daycare I was at. They'd be playing it. It was a major mega hit worldwide. But as a 5 and 6 year old, all I cared about hearing in that song was, Jeremiah was a bullfrog. Come on. Yeah, so, I mean, that and the chorus, Joy to the World, I mean, that it was just an infectious chorus. But here's the thing is, Three Dog Night, in their own way, what they were trying to do was inject the world worldwide with a sense of happiness and joy. That was their way of doing it. Joy defined in the dictionary, in a nutshell, is this right here. Joy is a feeling of great pleasure and happiness. Joy defined in the Bible, though, which if we all tried to define it ourselves based on what we've read in the Word of God, we would come up with multiple different definitions because of what God's joy means to us. Does everybody agree with that? So just to kind of give you a little bit, joy isn't just a laugh or a smile. Joy is something that is deep within and it doesn't leave quickly. When we have the joy of the Lord, we know it, and so do others. I started thinking about about this a little bit more, and in the Theopedia, which is kind of like the encyclopedia of the Bible, it says it this way, that joy is a state of mind, an orientation of the heart. It is a settled state of contentment, confidence, and hope. I got online and was looking just through some of our pastors that speak worldwide and nationwide. What is their definition of joy? I picked two. John Piper says it this way, Christian joy is a good feeling in the soul, produced by the Holy Spirit as he causes us to see the beauty of Christ in the Word and in the world. Rick Warren, the former pastor of Saddleback Church in California, says it this way, that joy is the settled assurance that God is in control of all the details of my life. The quiet confidence that ultimately everything is going to be all right, and the determined choice to praise God in every situation. Look at your neighbor and say, joy. Guys, check this out. In the Old Testament, there's 100 or a little over 100 Old Testament words that point us to joy. Whether it is Simcha, Sassoon, or Gil, you're going to find these words and it's going to point us to the joy of the Lord. You go into the New Testament and it doesn't stop there, that 60 or more, that you're going to hear words like Kara, or Yofrasune, or Agaliasis. These words point to the joy that we find in Christ, that we find in God. But really, if you're wanting a true definition of joy that comes from the Word of God, take it from the Scriptures. You don't want it to be the opinion of Matt. We don't need the second book of Matthew. You know what I mean? We want Scripture. So how many of you guys are ready for some Scriptures this morning? So the biblical view of joy is this. It describes it as joy as a ringing cry or joyful shout. Psalms 126:5, those who sow with tears will reap with songs of joy. The Bible describes joy as gladness, to be made glad, as exultation or pleasure and delight. Jeremiah 15:16, when your words came to me, I ate them. They were my joy and my heart's delight. The Bible also says that joy is to sing aloud, to joyfully sing. Psalm 71:23, my lips will shout for joy when I sing praise to you, I whom you have delivered. One more, let me give you one more. Joy as a delight that comes from recognizing God's grace and his favor. James 1:2 says this, consider it pure joy whenever you face trials of many kinds. So I want to make sure that we all understand this. Joy and being happy are not the same thing. Happiness is because of, joy is in spite of. Hey, I'll give you a quick one. When I empty the dishwasher without Lori having to tell me, it makes her happy. Come on. But guys, joy in the spite of is talking about that we have this reservoir where we hold joy, that you will have joy even if nothing on the outside gives you a reason to rejoice. That's joy. So I want to get into the story today, the Christmas story, the story we're going to build this around, and it's found in Luke chapter 2. It's actually the scriptures right before what we read last week. And it starts in verse 8, and it says this, and there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. And as we read our Bibles, we find that this message is the very heart of the story that we have with God. It's found in the gospel. It's in the good news. It's the good news of great joy. It is the centerpiece of the Christmas story. Why? Because of Jesus. Church, hear my words. Jesus is joy. Jesus is joy. God's gift to us, the Christ child, God who became a baby, God who sent his one and only son as a baby. The gift of joy, this gift that he gives to us, the joy of Jesus changed everything. I would argue this, that his joy is so good that anyone who encounters Jesus in a life-transforming way will all come to the same life-changing conclusion, that when Jesus came into my life, his joy changed everything about me. I think about the story of Paul. His name is Saul at this time. He's on his way. He's on the road to Damascus. In the story, this is where I usually get kind of stuck because it's such a powerful part of the story. We don't know if he was on a horse, if he was on chariots, or if he was just running or walking, but he gets knocked to the ground. Him and his soldiers get knocked down. They've lost almost consciousness because of this booming voice, this booming and bright light. And all of a sudden, he's in the presence of Jesus, and Jesus is calling Saul to him. He goes blind. They have to walk him into the city. He has scales on his eyes. And that's usually where I get stuck in the story. But guys, there's such a great addition to the story. And I want you to hear this. After he meets Jesus, this is what I believe. Joy had flooded his soul. When those scales, before the scales even ever came off of his eyes, I can guarantee you he was so full of joy of being in his presence that when he did get his sight back and he was able to start just talking, reasoning through what had happened and the calling and what Jesus did. Guys, can you agree with me that all he wants to do now is talk about it and write about it? Something had changed. He wrote a letter to Timothy, and it's found in 1 Timothy 1:15. He says, "Here is a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the worst." You see, Paul's joy, his hope, his peace all simultaneously floods his heart and mind. Because as he's sitting there, this is before the journeys of Paul. This is before he's gone and started preaching and getting beat and shipwrecked and all this other kind of stuff. This is before that. He's sitting there and all this is happening because he's now understanding what Jesus did for him. And he's the worst of sinners. He was on his way to go persecute and kill and imprison Christians. And Jesus meets him and calls him to serve him. Everything had changed. That's joy. Everybody say that's joy. It's joy. A joy that Jesus wants all of us to experience and live in. We are his joy. Every person in this room needs to hear this fact. Jesus loves you, and he loves your life, and he wants to give you so much joy. I've shared my testimony a little bit of going to the 84 Olympics on a missions trip, and we were there for a couple weeks, and I ended up getting called into ministry. Didn't really know what that looked like, but the part that I haven't talked about is the plane ride home. We're in LA, we're gonna fly back to Dallas, and I get on this plane, and guys, everything's changed. I could tell immediately that Jesus had taken the taste for the world right out of my mouth. Yet spiritually, physically, everything, it was gone, and I knew it. I wasn't disgusted by people who didn't know Jesus. I wasn't judging them. I just knew that something had changed in me. Something had been stirred up. And so I'm on the plane, and all I can do is think about, I just want to land so that I can tell my family. I just want to tell my friends. All these people that I used to get drunk with, lifeguarding, and all, I just wanted them to know that something had changed in me, and I wanted to tell them why. That the joy of Christ had flooded my heart. Everything had changed. I think about the stories. I think about these amazing stories that Jesus told that he left us in the Bible. You can find it in Luke chapter 15. If you're looking for a devotional this week, just look at Luke 15. Just read these stories that Jesus tells us. He tells us about the lady who lost her coin. Some translations, they say it was a piece of jewelry, but she's looking for this coin. She can't find it. She finally gets a hold of it, and what does she want to do? The only thing she wants to do is she wants to have somebody to rejoice with. I think about the next story where the shepherd who lost his sheep, he leaves his flock to go find this one, and it says in Scripture, it says it this way, that when he found it, he joyfully put it on his shoulders. And then he goes and calls his friends and neighbors to come and rejoice with him. And then probably the most famous story of all, which I think a lot of us stand on because we all have prodigals in our lives. They're not just children, they're aunts, uncles, grandpas. There's people that need to come back to the Father, amen? And he tells the story about the lost son. He goes and does his own thing. He figures it out that it's not good for him, and he decides to come back to his father. And this is what Jesus says, that when he returned home, that there was a feast and a celebration. Why? Why? Because in every one of those stories, it's all because of joy. The fantastic story of Christmas is not about how many parties Matt Stewart gets invited to this month. The fantastic story of Christmas is not about being more organized in a hectic time of this season. It's not trying to hide your mess so that other people think that you've got it all together. The amazing true story of Christmas is that God came to us in the person of Jesus. Hear me. God stepped down to us. God came as a baby into our time, into our reality. All this to make a way to God. Even though we were all lost, even though we weren't ready for him, messy, making bad decisions, godless, hurting, lashing out, broken, yet Jesus still came and he brought you and I unspeakable joy. What about the miracles of Jesus? Think about the miracles of Jesus. Think about the recipients. Think about all these wonderful stories we have in the Word that where we are given vivid details in the about the miracles that he performed. I love thinking about the recipients of these miracles, having the water turned to wine. That at that wedding ceremony, the best wine that they had ever had. I think about the healings, the multiple healings, the demoniacs who were freed. They were finally set free. I think about the miracle of the great fishing that took place in some of these stories. I think about the raising of the dead. All joy, all pure joy, all experiencing the fullness of joy because of Jesus have an impact on our lives. That every time I hear the story of the virgin birth of Jesus Christ, every time I hear the story of Jesus coming to us, I can't help but think about the good news. Guys, you cannot go through Christmas and not think about a scripture like this in John 3:16. Let's all read this out loud together. Read this. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have what? Eternal life. Ever want to know why Jesus came as a baby? It's right there. God gave us his perfect gift for our greatest need, that we could experience at all times his fullness of joy. So I have three thoughts. The good news of great joy. And the first thought is this right here. We celebrate the first coming of Jesus. We joyfully expect his soon return. We celebrate him coming as a baby. But guys, we as a church, we got to be looking forward to his second return. Amen? Come on. We need to get back to realizing why we celebrate birthdays. Especially the birthday of Christ. A birthday is a beginning. His birthday is the beginning. It's the beginning of good news of salvation. It's the start of something real. It's the salvation of sinners. We celebrate the birth because it foreshadows a death and then reveals a resurrection. His birth also floods us with joy of knowing he will return again for us one day. We celebrate his coming to us as a baby and our Savior, and we joyfully look forward to his soon return. When all of our kids were little, parents, you know what I'm about to say here. Lori could walk out of the house for a couple hours, and she could come back, and the kids would be like, Mommy, you know, Mommy, celebrating. They almost wanted to come get me. Daddy, come on, Mommy's home, you know, and bring me in to celebrate that Mommy had returned home. I go away for work part of the day. I come back, and all my kids are, Daddy! It's this huge celebration and rejoicing of this return. But you see, there are reasons for us to look forward to the return of Jesus. And the first one is this. It's because Jesus is our reward.
In Matthew 16:27, it says, "For the Son of Man is going to come in his Father's glory with his angels, and then he will reward each person according to what they have done." Another reason to celebrate is that Jesus will come to take us home. Guys, how many of us are under the understanding that this is not our home? This is not our home. Philippians 3:20 says, "But our citizenship is in heaven, and we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ." And what about this powerful portion of Scripture in John 14:1-3? "Do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. My Father's house has many rooms. If that were not so, would I have told you that I'm going there to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. You know the place where I am going." And what about this last one here? Something to celebrate is that Jesus will return as our rescuer. 1 Thessalonians 1:10, "And they speak of how you are looking forward to the coming of God's Son from heaven, Jesus, whom God raised from the dead. He is the one who has rescued us from the terrors of the coming judgment. It is so awesome to know who Jesus is and what he will accomplish on the day when he finally returns." Hallelujah! That when he finally comes back, praise the Lord, all things are going to be set right. Jesus is the Christ child. Jesus is the root. He is the offspring. He is the bright and morning star. I celebrate his birth. I look forward to his soon return. Come, Lord Jesus, come. And here's my second thought regarding the good news of great joy. And it's this: we are all invited to experience his joy. These are the words of Jesus. I'm going to give them to you right here. This is Jesus speaking in John 15:11. "I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete." Now, we've already discussed that being happy and being joyful are not the same thing. I'll give you an illustration. About 8 years ago, I think it's close to a decade now, but Pharrell Williams wrote this song, Happy. And I've seen interviews. I've seen a couple of interviews with him where he had wrote this song. It had gotten airplay, but it really didn't take off until he made the video. And in the video, there's so much joy in there that it went supersonic. It went worldwide. It affected everybody. So much so that it affected these 6 college students in Iran. And they decided to make a dance video to it. It wasn't the greatest dancing. It was just full of joy. And they put this video up, and the Iranian government arrests them, threatens them with prison, threatens their families with prison if they don't make a statement that they were deceived into making that video. So here comes a quote. Look at this, and here's the picture of them. Pharrell Williams says this: "It is beyond sad that these kids were arrested for trying to just spread happiness." You know, I could go out in my car, and if I had Happy in my playlist, Lori and I could get in the car on our way to lunch today, and we could put that on, just start kind of dancing and patting the steering wheel and singing about being a room without a roof, you know, and just having a great time singing it. And somebody will cut me off, and I go from happy to slappy. I just want to slap somebody. That's how fast, you know, happiness can just flee away. I'm happy, and now I'm slappy. How many of you guys have ever heard of Jim Valvano, famous coach from North Carolina State that died from a long battle with cancer? But he gave a speech at the ESPYs a long time ago, seems like. They do the Jimmy V Classic in basketball and stuff. It's really great. And they do it to raise money to find the cure for cancer. But he made this speech, and I want to give you a portion of it. You guys check this out. He said this, that we should do 3 things every day of life. Number 1 is laugh. You should laugh every day. Number 2 is think. We should spend some time in thought. And number 3 is you should have your emotions move to tears. If you laugh, you think, and you cry, that's a full day. That's a heck of a day. You do that 7 days a week, you're going to have something special. You see, This was, you know, he died very shortly after giving that speech. He could barely make it up on the stage to give it. But this was his formula. This was Jim's formula of experiencing happiness in his life, just to have a glimpse of joy. He was suffering with cancer, but the number one goal, his everyday goal, was finding joy in the day. And I want to make sure that everybody hears what I'm about to say. Everyone is invited to experience the joy of Jesus. Everybody is. No matter how you feel, everybody is invited to the table. Remember, this is what the angel said. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people, for everyone. And there's enemies of joy. There's enemies of joy. There's so many that I could have came up with, but I picked three because they're all found in the Christmas story. Think about the first enemy, anxiety. Started thinking about Mary. Started thinking about this young girl being visited by this majestic angel that is telling her this wild plan, this thing that's going to change the eternity. Can you not imagine the anxiety that must have rose up inside of her? But she chose to push past it and say yes to the plan of God. I think about hurt. I think about how hurt can be such an enemy of joy. How many of y'all know what I'm talking about? You get hurt, man, it just doesn't feel like you can pull joy out of anywhere. And here's Joseph. He's got this young, soon-to-be bride that is now pregnant. It's not his child, and he's hurt. He's confused. He doesn't know what to do. And the angel comes and visits him, and he gets up the next day and says, yes, I will be a father to the Son of God. What about confusion? The wise men, they finally get to Jerusalem, and they can't figure out where in the world they're supposed to go now. And they're talking with Herod. They're talking with all this stuff. And then finally, they see the star. They get the news that it's in Bethlehem. They see the star, and it says that they were filled with joy. They go from confusion to being filled with joy. You see, joy shows up in every stage of the Christmas story. I think about John the Baptist jumping for joy in his mother's womb. Mary goes to visit Elizabeth. And just in Mary's greeting to Elizabeth, look what it says in Luke 1:44. When I heard your greeting, the baby in my womb jumped for joy. We know about the angels bringing this amazing message to the shepherds in Luke 2:10. It says, I bring you good news that will cause great joy. The wise men are filled with joy. When they saw the star, they were filled with joy. In 15:11, Jesus says, my joy is in you. It's a gift to you. It's in you to be rooted so deeply. In the joy of Jesus, because of its fullness, it's the kind of joy that the world cannot take away. This is from me that the Lord has given me, and I don't know why, because I didn't say it this morning. But if you have let go of something that God originally gave to you, if you've let it go, and it is causing a source of where you can't experience the fullness of the joy, God is saying, come back. Come back and experience my joy again. Come back and take hold of what I called you to originally. I don't know who that's for. It's the kind of joy that the world desperately needs. Can I get an amen? And here's my third and final thought, and I'm going to ask the worship team to come on up. Let's give them one more hand for bringing it strong. Third thought regarding the good news of great joy. Praise God. And it's this. We have his great joy, so let's share his good news. Now that we know we have his great joy, it's time to get out and share that good news. Sometimes I think what's dangerous for believers is that we get trapped sometimes seeing Jesus as only the man of sorrows. Everybody hear what I'm saying on this? Because what happens is sometimes we feel like we're never good enough. Or we just feel like we're going to keep returning to our sin. And so Jesus is constantly staying on the cross. And don't get me wrong, it's because of the work on the cross that we have forgiveness. Because we can get our name now written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Now that we have a relationship with the Father, that he became the bridge between us and God. So I'm thankful for that. But we never really get to see him as Jesus of joy. Did you know that God anointed Christ with the oil of gladness above all companions? Look at the scripture. In fact, let me just tell you this. If you're looking for a devotional just during Christmas, go and read Hebrews chapter 1. Just take a look at it. Because the writer goes into great detail, letting us know just how splendid Jesus is. Talks about his radiance. Talks about his majesty. Talks about his authority over all angels. Look at this in Hebrews 1:9. You have loved righteousness and hated wickedness. Therefore, God, your God, has set you above your companions by anointing you with what? Say it. With the oil of joy. That means he can pour it out on us. He can pour it out into us because of God's gift of hope to us. Because of his gift of peace to the world. Because Jesus is so good. Because Jesus demonstrated true grace to all. Because he continued to push back darkness and evil. God anointed him with the oil of gladness above all companions. Jesus in us. And we are in him. We are in eternal union with the Christ child. We get to step into, we get to experience the fullness of his joy. Think about just some of the areas of the joy that the world offers us. We're in our car, we look down, we see E. It's time to go to the gas station. And we put that thing in there and we fill up our tanks and we get full. We get to drive away feeling, yeah, man, I've got a full tank of gas. Well, guess what? About 5 days later, we get to go back and we do it again because we got empty. We have sat at tables in restaurants and at families' tables, and we eat and we eat and we eat so much that we feel like we're about to pop. And then 2 hours later, we're throwing more food into the pie hole. Come on, we're just already eating again. Have you ever heard somebody say, you're full of it? Come on. I mean, you've been told you're full of it. You know what I mean? You see, we get a glimpse of joy in the aspects of our life. Think about when Jesus came into your life. Think about that joy. Think about being filled with his Holy Spirit for the first time. Think about husbands and wives that were able to bring in children into the world when that baby's born, the joy that filled the room. Think about getting married. I remember 1988, October 14th in Fort Worth, Texas. I'm standing in a room off to the side waiting to go in, and all I'm feeling is joy because I get to marry Lori Wilkerson. I get up there on the stage, and then I get to see her walk down all beautiful, and I'm filled with joy. And we go through the blackout stage of all the vows and stuff. And then her dad, who's the pastor, he goes, "You may kiss the bride." Man, Lori grabbed a hold of me and kissed me so hard, I couldn't get her. I was filled with joy. Come on. But guys, things are not always going to be great, but you can still have joy. People will look at you and say, "How are you going through what you're going through and still have joy?" Here's the solid truth. On a day in real history, in a city, in a real world, the Savior came to take away all our guilt. The Christ came to fulfill all of our hopes. The Lord came and defeated all our enemies and became the bridge to his Father. So I celebrate with you. I celebrate with you the joy of the Lord. This Christmas, we have a great Savior, Jesus, the Christ, the Lord, born on a day in the city to save us from our sins, our many sins. And we share the joy with Jesus. And guess what? God gets all the glory. One day we will fully and finally enter into the joy of the Lord. One day we will see him face to face. We get to share the great news. We have his great joy. So let's get out there and tell the world. I'm going to give you two scriptures. Luke 2, 16 to 17. Look, this is what happens with the shepherds. They hurried to the village and they found Mary and Joseph. And there was the baby lying in a manger. And after seeing him, the shepherds told everyone what had happened and what the angel had said to them about the child. And then in Psalms 4, 7, I'll leave you with this. You have put more joy in my heart than they have when their grain and wine abound. I did this in the first service, and we're going to do it again. Chuck, you back there, buddy? I'm going to tell you something. And at the top of your lungs, your response is joy to the world. You ready? Chuck, I want to give you some good news. The Christ child has come. Did y'all hear that? Isn't that awesome? All right, Chuck, and I want this whole side right here to stand up right here. Come on, all you guys right here. Everybody on this side, come on, be comfortable with it. Come on, everybody, there we go. I'm going to tell all of you the same thing, and I really want to hear it. You guys, the Christ child has come. Church, are y'all feeling this now? You guys stay standing right here. Let's stand up here on this side. Come on. This side right here. I'm going to tell you guys the same thing. We're going to announce this. Everybody, the Christ child has come. Let's all stand together now. Come on, everybody. Let's fill this room. You, Harvest Church, the Christ child has come. The Christ child has come. The Christ child has come. Come on, let's give the Lord a hand of praise. Come on. Let's give the Lord a hand of praise. Hallelujah. The Christ child has come. Joy to the world. So let's bow our heads very quickly. Heavenly Father, you revealed to us areas, people, circumstances, financial, physical, whatever, that we just can't experience joy. So, Lord, I just pray that you'll give us the boldness to step into your fullness now. That you stand ready to literally pour the oil of joy into our lives. And I just thank you for what you're going to do today in your precious name. Worship team is going to start singing. And as soon as they do not leave here. If you